Johnny Cain with Axel Byrne and his orchestra, and our special guests, Jimmy Starr of the Los Angeles Herald Express, and Larry Mayo, soon to appear in the forthcoming Broadway production, Follow the Girls. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ted Malley inviting you to spend some time with us in old New York. We take you now to Mother Murphy's boarding house, where anything can happen and usually does. Tonight we find Judith Allen again perturbed because Johnny Cain doesn't seem to understand what it means to keep an appointment on time. And now, here they are.
Well, Johnny, suppose you tell me what delayed you this evening.
I'm sorry I'm late, but I cannot tell a lie. I just came from the blood bank.
Look, Johnny, the Red Cross wants plasma, not asthma. Besides, you look as tired as an air raid warden in Berlin.
That's because I got a notice from my draft board last night.
Why should that make you feel tired?
I was up all night studying for my blood test.
In what bar? Just look at you. Your hair is all turning gray.
That ain't gray hair. I was dancing with a tall gal. Those are rashes from a cigar.
Johnny, why don't you take care of yourself? Go to bed early, exercise, and...
I just thought up a beautiful exercise.
What is it?
I bend both my knees to the floor. Then I rest both my hands there and rock back and forth.
Why, Johnny, that's praying.
Do you know of a better way of getting your laundry back?
No. But you know how much I admire a great big man who'll pick me up in his arms and sweep me off my feet.
You mean Frank Sinatra?
No, he looks like he went on an 18-day diet and lost the calendar.
Ah, so there you are, Judy.
What's the matter, Mrs. Murphy? Your eyes look as though you washed them with Mercurochrome.
Ah, then that Mr. Ashley, me star boarder, will be me ruination yet.
You mean Joel Ashley, the pride and joy of Mrs. Murphy's boarding house?
I do. He once brought joy to this house, but when he came, the termites left.
What's he doing now?
I sent him out to chop some wood, and he's cutting it without using his hands.
Nonsense. How could he cut wood without using his hands?
Well, he puts the hatchet in his mouth, and he's turning somersaults.
Here he comes now.
Ah, good evening, you precious little psychopaths. Mrs. Murphy, you look charming this evening. Permit me to kiss your hand.
Ah, why not me lips?
Your hand is smaller. And as for you, Miss Allen, you smell very nice this evening. What's that behind your ears? A wet dash of Bon Ami?
For your information, Mr. Ashley, it's evening in Paris. What's that behind your ears?
Two more ears.
Incidentally, you look all banged up. What happened?
Mysterious things are going on in this house. I went upstairs for a little shut-eye, banged into a door and got one.
But why all the bandages?
I was sliding down a banister going south and met a splinter going north.
Look, now, seriously, what's all this serious thing that you were talking about?
I just found a body in room 421 with the arms and legs missing.
What did you say?
I said I just found a body in room 421 with the arms and legs missing.
What do you make of it?
Robbery, of course.
Shall I call the police?
No, I have a better idea. A friend of mine, Jimmy Starr, a columnist on the Los Angeles Herald Express, promised to drop in tonight.
What's he got to do with the body?
Well, he just wrote a murder mystery entitled The Corpse Came COD. It's terrific, Johnny. He ought to know how to solve a mystery, so I'll get him to solve this one. He should be here any minute.
Judith, my little shangri lollipop. Your friend, Mr. Starr, may be a columnist, but I wager he couldn't pick up a clue if it had handles on it.
I suppose that you'd like to solve it yourself?
Why, I could solve this case in a manner to make my three English friends, a Cornan, Arthur, and Doyle, squirm. And where? Well, you know what I just did. It was just like taking candy from a kid.
Now, what did you just did?
Took candy from a kid.
Oh. Do what you will. I'm staying here until my friend Jimmy Starr arrives.
No, not I. Hansel Byrne and his band may play any moment. And the way they play blues and horses is horrible.
They're going to play victory poker.
And I'm going to listen to it.
Thank you.
Miss Allen?
What is it, Mr. Ashley?
Are we alone?
I'm afraid so.
What happened to Johnny Kane, that roadshow version of Durante? That half pint who looks like a quart?
He went out to check up on this holiday business.
What holiday business?
Well, he can't understand why there's only one holiday for mother and two for fathers.
Two for fathers?
Certainly. Father's Day and Puppy Day.
I suppose I should give up after that. But suppose Washington had given up. Where would Seattle be today?
Come on now, what's on your mind, Mr. Ashley?
I'd like to talk to you about this mystery in room 421. How about you and I going to dinner?
No, thank you. I'd rather invest my money in war bonds.
But you make good money.
Good money, but not much of it.
All right, how much would you charge to take me out?
$10 plus tax.
Withholding?
No, withholding at $15.
Then no withholding. Very well, I can afford it. I just made a lot of money down at the dog show.
How come?
During the dog show, I sold 300 copies of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Let's get back to this mystery.
Judith, I have an idea who did it.
Who?
Who does all the mysteries in this town? MGM.
I think we better get back to Mr. Starr.
What's going on here?
Listen to that voice, will you? Have you had your vowels drowned lately?
You wouldn't insult me that way if you knew I was going to be on a big radio program.
You are? Will my aunt hear you out in St. Louis?
She certainly will.
Well, you'd better talk awfully loud. She hasn't a radio. Now, if you will excuse me, I have to speak to Mr. Silver. I'm sounding like Kane tonight.
You said it.
About introducing a new song I just wrote.
What's it called this time?
I'm going to buy myself a paper doll that I'm going to use for Kleenex.
Joel Ashley, sometimes I think you're a dope, and sometimes I think you're an idiot.
Well, there's women for you. Can't make up their minds.
So Vane won't have time to talk to you. There's a guy in there by the name of Larry Mayo who's going to sing.
I cannot stand vocalizing. Will you pardon me while I run upstairs and fix the bathtub? It needs a new set of rings.
And this would be a good time, Johnny, for you to give me your note.
Sophie Tucker follows Jimmy Durante into the Copacabana. Ethel Waters is a smash hit at the Zanzibar. The Diamond Brothers are being held over at Iceland Restaurant.
Good.
Sue Ryan, star of the Ziegfeld Follies, dining the other evening at Armando's.
She's wonderful.
Joey Adams and Tony Canzanieri open tonight at Leoninetti.
Ah, Leoninetti. They're marvelous, too. Well, that must be Larry Mayo in there now, Johnny. What's he going to sing?
A lovely way to spend an evening.
Well, let's go in the next room and listen to him.
This is a lovely way to spend an evening. Can't think of anything I'd rather do. This is a lovely way to spend an evening. Can't think of anyone as lovely as you. A casual stroll through a garden, a kiss by a lazy lagoon, catching a breath of moonlight, humming our favorite tune. This is a lovely way to spend an evening. I want to save all my nights and spend them with you. A casual stroll through a garden, a kiss by a sleepy lagoon, catching a breath of moonlight and humming our favorite tune. This is a lovely way to spend an evening. I want to save all my nights and spend them with you.
Pardon me, is this Mrs. Murphy's boarding house?
Ah, yes. If you're looking for Mrs. Murphy, you can't miss her. From the back, she looks like she's digging for clams. From the front, she looks like she's found them.
But I don't want Mrs. Murphy.
Well, who does?
I want to see Judith Allen.
If you're a process server, I'm sorry. She has more now than she can use.
But I'm not a process server. My name is Jimmy Starr. I'm a friend of Judith.
You mean Jimmy Starr, the columnist of the Los Angeles Herald Express? The man who wrote that exciting murder mystery, The Corpse Came COD?
The same.
Never heard of you.
Young man, you may not have a lame brain, but it does have a decided limp.
Well, how do I know you're Jimmy Starr, the columnist?
Well, I can prove it to you. I was just presented with the keyhole to the city.
Well, I guess that proves it. But Miss Allen is busy at the moment. In the meantime, I'd like to talk over with you a little mystery that has occurred in this house. Maybe you'd like to go out for a bite to eat.
Yes, I would.
All right, you go ahead. I'll wait here.
Now, listen, young man. I want to see Miss Allen.
It won't do any good. Despite everything that's happened, she is now going out with a sound effects man. She fell in love with a crash.
You interest me, young man. What do you do?
I am a porthole tester.
What the devil is a porthole tester?
Well, I stick my head through a porthole. If I can't get it back, the porthole is too small.
Why, Jimmy Starr.
Hello, Judith. Long time no see. Have the years been unkind to me?
Oh, they've been positively nasty. Seriously, Jimmy, you look wonderful.
Judith, what are you doing in this psychopathic ward?
I work for a columnist, Johnny Kane, who lives here. And every night I drop in to bring him some coffee for his column. Where are you staying, Jimmy?
On the top floor of one of those skyscraper hotels. It's so high up on a clear morning, you can see Florida and California throwing grapefruits at each other.
And California winds, no doubt. Of course, you don't have to tell me what brought you to New York. Seriously, Jimmy, it's your new mystery novel, isn't it? You've just had it published.
You're right. But would you tell me who that queer, manic, depressive fugitive from a straitjacket is?
Oh, that's Joel Ashley. He's really a mad genius.
Ah, thank you, Miss Allen. And for that compliment, I shall permit your friend Starr to produce my newest play.
Oh, what's it called?
Topsy and Eva in the Light That Failed, or Mazda's in the Cold, Cold Ground.
I'm sorry, I'm a writer, not a producer.
Perhaps, Mr. Starr, after you've imbibed my latest concoction, you may change your mind. I shall bring you a glass of my famous shoestring cocktail.
What's a shoestring cocktail?
Two drinks and you're fit to be tied.
Say, doesn't that fellow know the meaning of work?
Of course, that's why he avoids it. But tell me, Jimmy, how about a nice scoop for my column, huh?
Okay, and this is really hot. I just left the White House. I saw Wendell Wilkie there. He was writing a postcard to his wife. He wrote, "Having a wonderful time. Wish I were here."
Oh, you're a great help. But I do wish you'd stay and help me to solve a mystery around this house.
I'd love to, but I can't stay. I'm taking the chief to Chicago.
Does your squaw know about it?
You're talking like everyone else around here. Why don't you come back to the coast and work for me as my secretary?
Yeah, that sounds interesting. How much did you pay?
Well, to be perfectly frank, right now my money is all tied up.
In nice, neat bundles, no doubt. But let's talk it over in the next room, Jimmy. Then you can tell me all about your book, The Corpse Came COD, while Hank Silvern and the boys play Brazil.
What are you doing there alone, Judith?
My friend Jimmy Starr, the columnist from the Los Angeles Herald Express, was here, and he wanted me to work for him at a big salary.
What's the matter with the salary I pay you?
Nothing that money wouldn't cure. And besides, Jimmy Starr gets some of the biggest scoops in the business.
So do I. Listen, Suppose I tell you that this morning I looked into my crystal ball and saw President Roosevelt running again.
What for?
Eleanor forgot a suitcase.
I'll be packing and leaving after another one like that, Kane. Now, suppose you take my notes,
huh? Let's have them.
Well, all in all, Johnny, I had quite a busy and a most interesting weekend. I saw the comparatively new play Decision, which Edward Chodorov wrote, and I found it bravely facing problems which all sane Americans are worrying about these days. The private battles that we're having within our country. The author feels there's no sense in sending our boys all over the world to fight battles if the same things which they're traveling so far to combat and can strike disastrously here at home. Decision is a stirring and a strong play, excellently acted by a splendid cast. The story is written around the principal of a small-town high school who fights the battles on the home front just as his son is fighting them in Italy. A United States senator and his tool, a newspaper editor, and the boy's sweetheart, who has always fought the enemies of the four freedoms. The schoolteacher father heads a citizens' committee which proposes to report to Washington that the senator has been using fascist methods, creating strikes to create race hatred and so forth, backed, of course, by the newspaper. Because the schoolteacher won't resign from the committee accusing the senator has the poor man accused of rape and afterwards murdered. The boy comes home from Italy, seriously wounded, and the decision comes when he finally decides to take up the battle where his valiant father left off. It's a serious play, as you can judge, and one well worth seeing. Perfect cast. It's headed by Raymond Greenleaf as the teacher, Gwen Anderson, late of Janie, as the sweetheart, and a wonderful colored actress, Virginia Burke.
Judith, I'm going to see it the first chance I get.
And then Saturday morning, I previewed a new type of musical film, a superb one-hour cinema concert featuring the music of the masters played by such great artists as Jose Iturbi on the piano and the harpsichord, Emmanuel Fuhrman, the cellist, Brunsky and Bobbin, the pianos, Coolidge String Quartet, and Mildred Dilling, the harpist. Oh, such exquisite music I've never heard before issued from a harp. Now I know why angels play them.
Papo Marx plays them, and he's no angel.
But his music is still angelic. Oh, the picture is called Adventure in Music, and it'll open at the Little Carnegie as soon as Marling closes in about 3 weeks. Don't miss it. I'm sure it'll be the musical screen sensation of the year.
I'm nuts about music. As I always tell you, some of my favorite songs are music.
Sunday night, I stole a little of your thunder, Mr. Kane, and I went to a nightclub, the Casino Roost on West 56th Street. Oh, what a beautiful, atmospheric, romantic place that is, with its dim lights and gypsy music and wonderful entertainment and good food. I made a mental note to go back again just as soon as possible.
Those places down in the village will have to do for me until after March 15th.
Well, yesterday, while lunching at the Pierre, I ran into three very dear friends of mine from the days when I was under contract to Paramount Pictures. Bill Pine and Bill Thomas, the producers, and Doc Merman, their business manager. And Pine and Thomas said that they'd drop in to see us Thursday night, and they should have lots of interesting things to say. Doc said that he'd come over, but he wouldn't talk on account of his voice sound so much like yours you wouldn't know who was talking when.
There ain't room on this program for another king.
No, I guess not. Later in the afternoon, I went to a special preview of The Purple Heart at 20th Century Fox. You saw that one last week, didn't you, Johnny?
I think it's a great picture. It ought to get 8 stars.
It's a magnificent job of production and acting. I think that everyone should have a good substantial meal under his belt before seeing it, though. You'll never know what those two words, Jap atrocities, mean until you've seen The Purple Heart. It tells the stark and sordid story of a group of our flyers who were captured after the Tokyo raid. The grim tragedy of their unfair trial. Oh, but what a terrific ending, Johnny, wasn't it? When those boys walk out of that courtroom, broken, maimed, condemned, with a song in their hearts and triumph on their faces, as the music swells to a remarkably breathtaking finish. The Purple Heart cries out in its own anguish, but with such force that no human being can help but answer. Well, enough of the serious. I have here an amusing little composition written by Emmeline Mechanic. It's a zany story made up of the names of the present and recent Broadway plays, and it's called A Winged Victory. Never a wallflower, Harriet, tired of life with father, made a decision to wander into the cherry orchard of her ramshackle inn on Angel Street in Oklahoma to meet her Duke in darkness. She used to go early to bed, but now, over 21 and a merry widow, she and the Connecticut Yankee, who doesn't kiss and tell, have become lovers and friends. The two Mrs. Carrolls were seen peering from their window next door and were told this is not a peep show. If you've got some dough, girls, why not take Janie to see the Ziegfeld Follies while we are left to hear the voice of the turtle? In the meantime, their friends, Porgy and Bess, Carmen Jones and Othello, had hit the jackpot. and started on a Mexican hayride. But after one touch of Venus, realized that tomorrow the world would be the same again, and that they would have to go back to the store selling arsenic and old lace tablecloths. But they had learned to take it as it comes, so they decided to set up housekeeping right next to Broadway and put the stars on ice.
Now, what do you intend doing?
Well, at the moment, I understand that Larry Mayo is going to sing by the River of the Roses, and since it's a very beautiful song and he has a very beautiful voice, I'm just going to sit here and listen.
I met her by the river on the roses, the sweetest girl this side of the Alamo. I left her by the river on the roses. With tear-dimmed eyes, she whispered, "I'll miss you so." All the roses have faded since we've been apart. But the one rose she gave me will always bloom within my heart. And someday by the river of the roses, I don't know when, but we'll meet again, I know. Waiting by the river of the roses, the sweetest girl this side of the Alamo. All the roses have faded since we've been apart, but the one rose she gave me will always bloom within my heart. And someday by the river on the roses, I don't know when, but we'll meet again, I know. Waiting by the river on the roses, the sweetest girl this side of the Alamo.
Ah, there you are. Do you mind if I inquire whether any of you have seen Mrs. Murphy?
Who?
Mrs. Murphy, the pin-up girl of Bunker Hill.
Why, what's wrong now?
What's wrong? Why, ever since Johnny Kane won that band in the crap game, there's no room in this house to change your mind. Why, I just walked into the elevator, I said, going up, and some trombone player replied, "Who cares? I just came in to change my underwear."
So there you are, Mr. Ashley. Well, what's the big idea?
You'll have to admit it was deucedly clever of me.
No, what did you do?
Well, I put an electric fan in the canary's cage. Fastest badminton game you ever saw.
Mr. Ashley, why don't you go to work? You're getting me here, and there's only room in it for one of us.
I think that's a grand idea myself.
I'll have you know, Miss Allen, that when I left my last place of employment, they all chipped in and bought me this beautiful watch. And will you note the inscription thereon?
I will note the inscription thereon. What does it say on the watch?
It says, "To Joel, keep plugging, keep up the good work. And if you want to keep the watch, keep up the payments."
Enough of this. What am I going to do about the corpse in the room 421?
Oh, I have a fabulous idea. I'm going to hire 21 beautiful girl fan dancers.
Fur fan dancers? What for?
Well, to dance around the corpse for 2 hours. And then if he doesn't get up, we'll know he's dead.
There's only one mystery around here, and that's what goes into Mrs. Murphy's head.
Mm. Yes, but what about the body?
There ain't none. I went upstairs. The body in 421 is a clothing dummy.
What's the idea, Mr. Ashley, of frightening us so?
Oh, I forgot about it. I was trying on a union suit with a pair of slacks, and since I've been putting oil on my hair, everything's been slipping my mind.
Then suppose you just slip along with me and finish washing those dishes.
I can't.
Mr. Ashley, are you standing on a pogo stick?
No, I just put both feet in the same shoe.
Well, then you get out of it and come along with me.
Well, I guess I'll have to invent a cellophane eight ball. I'm behind it so often, I like to see what's going on. Good night, folks.
Good night, and I'd like to see what's going on in the next room, Johnny.
But thanks to Vine and his band going to play again. This time it's a number called He's from Missouri.
That Hank and the boys play, and it brings me back to my original subject with you, Mr. Kane. Why don't you go out dancing? Take your girlfriend, Hetty Lamarkowitz, some night.
Judith, I used to go dancing. I used to rumble, and I used to samba with her.
You ever conga?
Every time she stepped on my toe.
Oh, it's no use. I better be stepping along with your copy for the column.
And I'll be stepping out to see what's happening in old New York. Night, Judith.
Night, Johnny.
They go, Judith Allen, star of stage and screen, and Johnny Kane, whose column on nightclubs appears every Sunday in the New York Inquirer. Judith Allen and Johnny Kane will be back again Thursday evening at 7:30. The part of Mrs. Murphy in tonight's program was played by Marie Elliott. The part of the boarder was played by Joel Ashley. Larry Bayo appeared here tonight by courtesy of the Broadway production Follow the Girls. Our thanks to Jimmy Starr for appearing on our program tonight. Our guests Thursday evening will be Bill Pine and Bill Thomas. So until Thursday evening at 7:30, this is Ted Malley bidding you good night from our studios in old New York, reaching you at 10:10 on your dial.